We're going to be looking in the book of James, chapter 1, if you want to open your Bibles to James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. Before we get to the text, I'll give you time to turn in your Bibles or open your app and go to it that way. To those online, you can find it on, I'm sure you can find it at the Bible Gateway if you don't have a Bible in front of you on the internet. But the book of James was written by James, of course, who is Jesus's half-brother. You're like, well, how is he Jesus's half-brother? Well, because Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Therefore, he was. That's why James is his half-brother. But all of his siblings were halves. But he was an early leader in the church. And in the early church, he was even considered a bishop. And if you go online, you want to look up what he looked like. There's some funny pictures, old paintings of him. And I do emphasize funny because they'll have weird, long, weird, bushy beards and funny hats and stuff like that. But James is, that's who James was. He wrote this book, though, to some believers who were having a hard time. So he wanted to encourage them to live consistent lives in Christ. He wanted them to be consistent in how their lives looked by what Christ had taught them. They had been discouraged, and so that's why he was writing this book to encourage them, because they were discouraged due to trials and tribulations they were going through, persecutions for believing in Christ. So James is urging them along. You know, lots of this book, it focuses on faith and works, and it focuses on how if we are rooted in our true faith in Christ, then the works are going to overflow out of that. Out of that faith, because you think of like your faith as the roots of a plant, and then it grows, and as it grows, it produces fruit. The only way it's going to grow is if you feed it, and that's how we can grow in our faith, is by feeding our faith, and then our works will overflow. So if you've gotten to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Okay. So as I grew up, I think everyone has a similar story to this. We all, when we were growing up, there was a saying we would hear often, normally from a parent, maybe a teacher or a coach or a Sunday school teacher. But often you would hear this, "In one ear and out the other." Y'all remember that phrase? In one ear, out the other. "Hey, you clean your room today, please." Or, "Hey, bring your homework tomorrow. Don't forget your homework." Meanwhile, me or whoever would be focusing upon whatever they were doing, playing with their toys, watching the television, looking at their cell phone, whatever it was. And the next day or later that night, your mom or dad would come up to you and say, "You didn't clean your room." Or your teacher would say, "Where's your homework? I sent you home with homework. Where is it?" And you're like, "What? I didn't know I was supposed to do that." And they're like, "Well, I told you this morning that you were supposed to do that." You know, it's because it went in one ear and went out the other, as the saying goes. You know, I'm sure this goes on in marriages as well. You know, especially talking to the men there, I know that having friends that are married and then seeing how they interact, sometimes the wife will have them what they call the honey-do list, and they're like, well, honey, you didn't mow the lawn today, or I told you to take the dog to the groomer today, or whatever it is, and because they didn't pay attention. They heard, but they didn't listen. I think we've all been there, right? When I was a child, I was there a lot. I heard that phrase often, because I was like to do my own thing, it seemed like. We're going to look at this text in different segments, and the first one is James 1, 19 through 21. We'll start with this. I'm going to reread it. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So how do we receive the word? The word of God is rooted in us, or is it in one ear, out the other? In other words, the word of God should change us. It should change who we are. Because if we believe what the Bible says, when we get that rooted inside of us, what happens is that we become a new person. Say we're born again. We become a new person. Our lives have changed. We now have Christ as the center of our life. And if he truly is, then we're going to be changed and be the change that other people need to see. Now, the first thing out of this first segment is we need to be quick to listen. That's hard. I'll be the first to say, quick to listen is very hard sometimes. But when it comes to the scripture, how do we do that? How are we quick to listen? Well, we put ourselves in places where we are going to hear the word. Like here, Sunday morning, we're here. We're hearing the word. We're hearing the scriptures, the ear and what God has given me to bring today. Also, in our Sunday schools and small groups and Bible studies, you're hearing the word and discussing it amongst yourselves. But then, maybe most importantly, our own study. Because if we read the word ourselves and sit there and reflect on it and see what God is saying through that text, then the more we do that, the more rooted we're going to be in our faith. The more deep and rooted our faith will be, which will cause us to live out that faith more fruitfully. And we can apply it to our lives as God wants us to do. And the second thing about quick to listen, speaking of quick to listen, is quick to listen to others. Who has a hard time listening to others sometimes? Besides me. No, I used to be really bad at that, but I've learned over the years because God has changed me to make me be able to slow down and listen. But I know that oftentimes it's been these days, especially, it's become a lost discipline. People aren't quick to listen anymore. They don't want to hear what others have to say because they only care what they have to say themselves. You know, think about these things here. Yeah, I just read some scripture off of it. But it can also distract you, can't it? You get on that phone, maybe you're playing a game on it, and somebody's telling you something, and you're like, mm-hmm, yeah. You don't know what they said to you. Or maybe, I go to the restaurants often, and I'll see whole tables. Instead of talking to each other, they're all sitting there on their phones, eating their dinner, but not talking to each other. Well, why'd you go eat with somebody if you weren't going to talk to them? You know, you could have just sat at home and ate something and if you didn't want to go talk to anyone. You know, these days, there's a lot of apps that, if you get on Facebook, you'll see these things, but there's an app called TikTok where it's nothing but 5 to 10 second videos, something in that range, and they're short. Because that's about the attention span people have these days. They don't have that big of a attention span anymore. Just can't pay attention. Like some people used to say that, you know, you got the mind of a goldfish. They'll forget what happens within 10 seconds of what had just happened to them. That's how it seems to be these days, because people don't have a hard time sitting and listening to prolonged talks or prolonged messages or prolonged videos or whatever it may be. Now, a wise man years ago said something that definitely holds true. Said, we have 2 ears and 1 mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we say. 2 ears and 1 mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we say. You know, to properly communicate to others in our relationships, it requires that we listen. We have to listen, because if you're not listening, you don't know what they're saying. There was a movie one time that said, what we have here is a failure to communicate. And that is exactly what happens if you don't listen. You will have a failure to communicate. Now, that made me think about the oftentimes in my life, and I think everyone in here has had this exact same thing happen, where if someone is telling you something, you don't like what they're saying, you don't agree with what they're saying, so about halfway through what they're saying, you start thinking, how am I going to talk back to this? How am I going to show them that they're wrong? So for the whole second half of what they're saying, you're sitting there like, oh, what am I going to say? I'm going to get this person. I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. I know exactly what to say. I'm going to get them. And then when it comes time for you to respond, because you didn't listen fully, you say something that had nothing to do with what they were saying, and it makes you look like a fool, and it also makes the disagreement extend and maybe even get worse because you were too concerned about what you wanted to say and not what they had to say. You know, I think of it as like, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get you. I'm going to set you right. I've been there. You have discussions and disagreements with others. You know, listening is very important. Because if we don't listen to Jesus and his word by spending that time with him or coming to Sunday service or listening on Facebook or wherever you're hearing the word, if you don't do that, then you're not going to understand what the word's saying. You're not going to understand what Christ wants you to do if you don't listen to it. You let it go in one ear and out the other. That's what will happen, just like when you do have that conversation with others. John 10, verse 27, says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if we're following Christ, we should know what his voice sounds like. We should know what his word is saying to us. Because if we follow him, as this here says, that John says that, hey, if you know me, you're going to hear me. If you know me, you're going to understand. You're going to read these texts. You're going to want to have this understanding. I was trying to think of an example. How could I give an example of that? And it came to my mind. I was thinking, what if you walk into the atrium or the back of the sanctuary or wherever you are, could be at Walmart, wherever you are, and you're sitting there, and a couple of aisles over, you hear a voice. And if it's one of your friends or if it's your family member, then you know, oh, I know who that is. That's my friend. Or, hey, that's my aunt. Or, hey, that's my wife or husband. You hear them and you know it's them the same way. If we know, because you know them. So if we know God, then we will recognize his voice when it comes. The second, third part here, we should be slow to speak as well. Slow to speak. Because if we listen well, we will respond accurately and compassionately to the person that we're talking to, communicating with. Now, we all have opinions, right? Everyone in here has a different opinion on something at some level, whether it's what restaurant is the best, who's the best singer, who's the best band, who's my favorite politician, etc. We all have different opinions at some level. Everybody in here will have something different. But we have to remember that. It's not hard to remember that, though, right? You get on social media, it's pretty. You recognize in about 5 seconds that people disagree with each other. It's very full of people arguing or trying to make a point and one-up the other person and then showing their opinion. But when we share our opinions, when we share to others, we should be wise, grace-filled in those opinions, which is very difficult. That's where we need to be, wise and grace-filled. Because nothing's worse than a reckless opinion. You ever been around someone that just spouts off their opinion all the time and fires it out, and you're just like, probably shouldn't have shared that, or maybe they said it in a way that was divisive or hateful? What if they'd said the exact same opinion even if it wasn't yours and they did it with grace, then you wouldn't have walked away upset with that person. Like, you know, we can agree to disagree on that. It's important to not have these reckless opinions, because you can have a different opinion and share it with love and grace. And that's something that you, if you get on, just go get on Twitter, you'll see that's not happening there. But Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Brings healing. Say, if you're wise and grace-filled, regardless if you agree with the person or not, it's going to bring healing to you and them. They may not agree with you afterwards, but they at least will feel a calm presence. You know, but it says here, the reckless words are like swords. And I was thinking, when you say things recklessly and then maybe didn't stop to think before you said it, or said it in a way that was not very kind, it's like shooting. Anybody ever shot a bow and arrow or a crossbow or anything like that? I used to do some of that. And when you shoot your arrow or your crossbow at the target, can you go get it before it hits that target? You can't do it, can you? Maybe if you're the Flash from the comic books, you might be able to do it. But that's the only way. You're not going to be able to go get that. It's already been fired off. It's gone. It's going to land where it's supposed to, where you aimed it at, or at least close to it. But that's where, same way with our words. You know, when you say something, you can't take it back, because that person's already heard it. And it could pierce them the same way and harm them. And that's not how we want to live our lives, because it could not only would harm them, it could harm yourself. So it's important to be wise and slow to speak at times, because if you slow down and you're thoughtful with your words, then that grace and love of Christ will come through it. And sometimes we really need to think about that. And that fourth thing here is be slow to anger. Slow to anger. Anybody in here ever have anger problems? Now, you already know mine's normally to do with Alabama football when I'm watching the game. But what about you guys that you've ever been in traffic? Somebody cuts you off. We've talked about this in the men's Bible study often. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, and you want to have some choice words with them, or maybe give them a one-finger wave that you don't need to be doing. You ever been there? What is this idiot doing? What are they? I normally don't have a problem with that unless they almost hit me. And when they almost hit me, I can get a little mad. But that's not, at times we need to be slow to anger, because we also think about when we read the Bible. You ever read anything in the Bible and thought to yourself, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't like what that says right there. You don't got to answer that. You can answer it in your head. Most of us have probably been there. Something we read at some point in our life, we're like, I don't like that. That offends me. I don't want to do that. The Bible is offensive. I don't know if y'all know that or not. The Bible is offensive. No, it's not politically correct. You read through that, you'll know that. But the reason it is offensive is because it tells us we're not good enough. If you don't know Jesus, after you know Jesus, you get a better understanding of it. But if you don't know Jesus and you read the Bible and it tells you that you're a sinner and you're a bad person, and of course you get to the good news later, but if you stop there, then you would be mad. This Bible here tells me that it's telling me I'm a sinner. I can't get there on my own. I've done everything on my own. So people can get mad at this, because we can't save ourselves. That's the truth. But that's why Jesus came. Came down, lived a life, perfect life, died on the cross, and rose 3 days again to save us from our sin and death. And that's how we can enter into that eternal life. And also, it gives us that gratefulness that even though we were sinners, he died for us so that we may have eternal life. And once you understand that, you may still get upset at some of them, but you'll know that it's right. You'll know that the word is the truth. You know, anger does not bring us righteousness. It says that in this text. Anger, say that again. Anger does not bring us righteousness. It doesn't. Anybody says, well, Jesus got angry at the temple with the money changers, didn't he? He did. That's righteous anger. There's a difference. Righteous anger. He was upset and angry at injustice and things that were going, that were being done that were wrong in the temple. Wrong according to his father. So there is righteous anger, but don't ever let that fool you into thinking that when you're angry, you're righteous every time. That's not true. No, he was not angry in an unrighteous way. Proverbs 14, 16 through 17 says, "The wise fear the Lord and shun evil, but a fool is hot-headed and yet feels secure. A quick-tempered person does foolish things, and the one who devises evil schemes is hated." Anybody ever gotten anything good happen to them after they were angry at something? Anything good ever happen? No. Nothing good happens from our anger. Nothing does. Now, we can't feed our anger and bitterness, because if you start feeding that anger and that bitterness in your life, then it's just going to become a roadblock to growing in your faith. It's also going to be a roadblock to relationships you could have. And it will damage those relationships. And it'll damage your relationship with God, because you may still have your faith, but if you're not, hanging on to something you don't need to hang on to. And that anger and bitterness, we don't need to hang on to that stuff, because it damages us. But you know what you can feed? You can feed the joy of the Lord, the peace from the Holy Spirit, and the wisdom of God. That will grow in your heart. And when it does, it brings healing to you, and it brings healing to those around you in your life. And that's important. We want to bring healing. We don't want to bring pain and bitterness to people. We want to bring joy and love and peace to them, just as Christ did to us. And in James, the next segment we're going to look at here is James 1, 22 through 25. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So I said, you hear that? It said, don't just listen to it. Do what it says. As if you listen to it and don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. So verse 23 says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Hear that? Don't forget what you've heard. Do it. What James is telling us. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Instead, let it settle in and do what it says. That's what we're called to do there. Because if you don't listen to what the word is saying, it's not going to take root in your life. And if you don't have the root, you know, if it doesn't take root, then how are you supposed to grow? How are you supposed to bring God to others if you just listen to it and let it slide on out the other ear? Don't pay attention to it. That's what James is really driving this home, because these people were thinking about, they were so discouraged, they wanted to leave the faith. And he's like, look, if you hear this, you have to do it. And you're going to be blessed if you do. No, James was talking about looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. I've never done that, I don't think, but it sounds a little ridiculous, right? Look in a mirror, then go to the other room and forget what you look like. That just sounds really ridiculous. But it's the same way when you think about, he's saying that this the same way as if you hear the word of God and you don't listen to it, or you listen to it and you don't do it, it's the same way. It's just as ridiculous as looking in a mirror and forgetting what you look like. That's what he's saying here. Matter of fact, when we look at it, Psalm 119, 105. We all know this verse. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." A light on my path. So the Bible is showing us where to go. He's guiding us. His word is like that lamp that guides us through the darkness. And if it's showing us where to go and how to live, walking in the word is what's going to bring us freedom. Freedom from that anger, freedom from that bitterness, freedom from resentment, freedom from gossiping, freedom from lying, free him from all these things, in a sense. And if we have that freedom in Christ, we're able to then step into the love, the joy, peace, faithfulness, kindness, goodness, etc. And then the last part of James here we'll touch on to close it up is James 1, 26 to 27. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So if you're serious about your faith and trusting God's command, then you'll do something. You won't just let what you heard go out your other ears. You're going to do something. You're going to step into that. I was talking about taking care of orphans and widows. That was a big thing in the day. That was a big thing. Nobody would, like the society of their day would look down on those people. And God says, take care of them. Just as today, but take care of people in need. We do with the food distribution. What are we doing there? Taking care of people that need groceries. Manna, Bright Bridge, multiple other things that we do in this community to serve others. A lot of them we don't even know. That's why we're called to serve everyone, not just the ones we know. We do the food distribution. We'll give out 150 units of food. 90% of the people you'll never see again, and you didn't know before. Some of them you know, but most of the time it's not the case. So we're supposed to do that to everyone, not just the ones in our circles. You know, we'll care for those in need through the love of others. We will not be polluted by the worldly philosophies. That one's big. I feel like a lot of times these days we can get polluted by what the world tells us to do, what the world says we should live, how the world tells us to believe, and not stop to think and look into the Word, into the Bible, and see what God says how to live. We won't only speak and listen, but we'll also follow the Word. We'll be be slow to listen and follow the Word. And we'll show that by our actions to those around us. Let me ask you a question here. If someone tells you something, and you're like, oh, that's what they do, and then they never do it, but they tell you it, you won't probably remember that. But if they tell you, like if we say we love others, we care for others, but don't do anything about it, then people are probably not going to want to listen to you. But if you say it, and then you go out and do it, like the food distribution, even trunk or treat, to see all those people we haven't seen, meeting families, meeting young people, that was a great time for the witness of Christ. So if they hear that we do those things, but we don't do them, then it's not of any value. But if we say we care for those, and we go to Bright Bridge, and we give stuff to Manna, and we do all these things we do, they're more likely to believe it because they see you. Not just hear you, they see it. And when they see the actions and not just the words, I believe people will be more willing to come and follow Christ, at least come join the community that can lead them to following Christ. Now, John Wesley had a saying I share it every week at confirmation. We've heard it here before, I'm sure. I know we have. But during confirmation, every week we went over this. The kids would say it. We would repeat it. But I think it gives a good example of how we should be living our lives, being trying to tame our tongues and being slow to listen to people instead of jumping the gun and being reckless. But this is what he said. Do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Let us pray. God, we all admit that oftentimes we can Just listen and not take action on some of the things you say, God. Pray that we would be better and more quick to listen and slow to speak to others. Slow to become angry, Lord. I pray that we would be able to do as John Wesley was saying, is to do all the good we can, all the means we can, all the ways we can, all the places we can, all the times we can, to all the people we can, as long as we ever can. Lord, I just pray that prayer this morning that that's how we will be. In your name I pray. Amen. Open up. If you feel the need to come down and pray, or if you need prayer, you're welcome to come down to the prayer rails during this final song. And if you need someone to pray with you, you can come get me or Faith, and we would love to pray with you. But